Job 38 and verse 22. This is a revelation that I want you to never forget. I almost wish it would bring a snowstorm this week just to back it up. Amen. Listen to this. Verse 23. Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which is rain that is frozen into ice? Which I, this is God speaking, he's speaking to Job, which I have reserved. Everybody say reserved. You know what that word means? It means there's a treasury of snow that is stored up and reserved for what? For the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. I'm preaching today on the, have you entered the treasury of snow? I'll explain that in just a moment. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. That is higher than the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways higher than yours and his thoughts greater than yours. And then he goes on and he says that his promise is like the rain. It's like snow from heaven. Isn't that something? And it does not return there, but to water the earth. And then he goes on and he says, it shall not, speaking of his word, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Thank you, Lord. That what God promises you, it cannot fail. It will not return void. And then he goes on and says, it will accomplish the thing which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. One more quick verse, Isaiah 45 and verse 3. He said that the promise that I give you, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places that you may know that I am the Lord. Hidden riches and hidden riches in secret places, treasures of darkness, meaning there are things that in the Word of God that you don't see, it's a mystery or it's hidden, but I'll give you revelation. And I believe today is going to give you one of those revelations, because as snow and as it rain, his word comes down off out of the heavens. And he says, now have you entered the treasures of the secret place? Have you entered the treasures that I have for you? The treasures, the treasury of snow. What strange wording Job 38 is. One more time, I'm going to read it. Have you entered, Job 38, 22, the treasuries of snow that I, the Lord God, have reserved against the timing of trouble, against the day of battle? See, what he's talking about is snow is a metaphor of spiritual snow, which is something that comes down once you send it up in prayer. Snow, the treasury of snow is prayer and praise and worship. And we fast and we pray and we take the word of God that will not return void, and we study it and we spend extra time in it and we read it. And in doing so, you're filling up the treasury of snow, just like a mountain peak, just like, how snow accumulates on a mountain peak, and it's there during the winter. But there will come a season of change. A change season will come. The season will change. And when the sun starts shining down, it starts warming, and something happens because there is a treasury of snow, that which is stacked up and piled up and gathered. It's amazing that you can store up prayer just like snow stores up on mountain peaks. And when the season changes, the snow begins to melt and it turns into water, and the streams begin to flow, and the river comes from the snow on the mountain. And the more snow, the more flow. If you don't have any snow stored up in the treasury of snow, there will be no flow in the time of trouble. Did you hear the word? In the time of trouble, you're storing stuff up for the day of battle. You're storing stuff up so that when the enemy comes like a flood, you've got something stored up waiting on him. And God says, I will have my people prepared for whatever comes their way. And there is this connection, you see, because snow collects. Snow, if you read about it, it has 6 points, the snowflake, just like the Star of David. I'm not making this up. You can check it out. If you look under a microscope, that's what you will see, just like the Star of David. And it collects. The reason that's important is because it connects very easily with other snowflakes. And it's not just one snowflake you don't have to worry about. But if enough of them get together, just one little tiny snow gets with another and gets with another and gets with, it can mess up a Mack truck. It can stop a Mack truck. And that's like prayer. You know, sometimes we get so tired of praying for the same thing, and it sometimes it's months that you pray for the same thing and nothing happens. Pray for the same thing, nothing happens. But what you're doing, you got to see it, is you're filling up the treasury of snow. Lord, I praise you. I call my children's name, my grandchildren's name. I'm storing up snow. Here's another piece, and here's another snowflake, and here's another snowflake, and here's, and sometimes you got a grandmother that's been praying for 30 years, or a granny, or a mother like I've got this. Been praying for 50 years, and my snowflakes get mixed in with her snowflakes, and you get a whole family praying, and everybody's getting like this glacier thing going on the top of the mountain. But it feels like nothing's happening. It feels like in the winter that everything's barren and everything's cold and I don't feel nothing and I don't see nothing. And you said, God hadn't changed one thing. You've been storing up snow. If you don't have a collection, listen to this. If you don't have a collection of yet to be answered prayers, in the treasury of snow, there'll never come a river afloat. It'll find another tributary that'll go into someone else's place. But if you don't have anything stored up, don't expect a flow without any snow. The more snow, the more flow. There's this collective gathering that creates the glaciers. In heaven, every prayer we pray is like snow. Do you know where the river of God comes from? The snow of God's people that they are praying. Jesus wouldn't have told us to pray if it didn't work. Jesus wouldn't have told us to give. He would have just said, just que sera, sera, whatever it would be. And it doesn't really matter if you pray or if you don't about the situation. But if you ever start praying for your daddy, if you ever start praying for your mother, if you ever start praying for your son, if you ever start praying for your daughter, if you ever start praying for your family, and you keep on doing it, and sometimes it's stored up for generations. Those people may pass. Those people like my dad may die. They may go on to heaven. But the prayers that they prayed are, the Bible said, every tear is bottled. Every tear you have ever, God keeps up with that liquid stuff. And the snow, he turns it into snow. And at some moment, the season's going to change. You just don't understand that God cannot forget the treasury of snow. And the question is, have you entered into it? Because it's powerful. The flow is coming if the snow is gathered. Rivers will begin to flow. Rivers of deliverance. I claim rivers of deliverance over this church this year. That there will be services where God will deliver people from drugs and alcoholism. God will deliver people from gender confusion. God will deliver people from lies and deception. God will deliver people from suicide and self-hatred and desiring to just kill themselves prematurely. I'm telling you, there is a river of healing. There is a river of deliverance, the river of God. There is a river of family salvation and miracles. And we have been storing up the snow so the flow will find this house, our house. Somebody give the Lord a praise for that if you believe it. Store it up in the spirit realm. Make snow peaks over your family. A snow peak of prayer. What are you doing? You worship. Every time you worship, every time you praise God, every time you open that book and read it, you're storing up snow. You're storing up snow. Keep doing it. Turn to somebody and say, you got to store it up. We can't give up. We can't get weary. Paul put it like this. Pray without ceasing. Just keep on praying. You don't have to be around a lot of people. Just every time you think about them and start to worry about them and start to say, oh God, what? No. Just pray for them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just call their name out right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And that prayer will connect with another prayer. We'll connect. And this is what happened in the book of Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, the Bible said, made a memorial before the throne of God. He created, I'm going to use my own terminology, he created a ice palace with his prayers and with his giving. It came up before God as a memorial. I want you to think about that. When I think of a memorial, I think about the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial. And God himself said, I can't see around this pile, this snow peak, this guy has stacked up so much giving, so much worship. All of it was worship. Giving is worship. All of it is worship. Praise is worship. Hallelujah. Confessing the word of God, speaking the word of God, listening to the word of God is worship. Reading the word of God is worship. Whatever it is, God turns it into snow. And he says, the more you stack up and store up, the Bible said that it became so big in heaven that it was like a huge memorial before God. And God said, well, I got to get rid of some of this ice up here, so I'm going to change the season. Now, you think about what I'm saying. And that one man prayed and stored up so much snow in the treasury, and he had his family name on that memorial because this blessing didn't flow to the church. It flowed to his physical address. If you read Acts chapter 10, no Gentile, only Jews had heard the gospel and received Christ and been filled with the Holy Spirit. But one man prayed, and when God began to melt the snow, it started flowing to one guy's house who his prayers had become like a memorial. And the Bible said that he poured the Holy Spirit out on him and his house. And this was the beginning of the Gentile miracle that to this very day, this very service, this very moment, had that man not filled up the treasury of snow and God found a way to let it flow, and we would not be a part of the body of Christ because we were Gentiles lost without God. But here we stand, children of the covenant, because one man prayed. Pray without ceasing. Pray when nothing happens. Praise when nothing happens. Praise when you don't feel. Worship when you don't feel anything. Oh, you're never wasting time. You're filling up the treasury of snow. And if there's snow, it's a matter of time. You look outside. I love that we do this at the beginning of the year, right in the middle of freezing weather. It was as cold as it gets the last 2 weeks. But you know what the Lord told me yesterday? He said, tell them the best time to pray is when it's cold. Spiritually speaking, when everything's withered up and died. You look at those trees. If you saw these trees in the springtime on this property, they're gorgeous. Some of them are fiery red. Some of them are beautiful, beautiful. But right now, if you go outside and you walk on the side, that's the best time to pray. Because you're storing it up, so that when the season changes, because there will come a change of season, it may feel like your family tree is withered up. It may feel like your finances are withered up. It may feel like your dreams are withered up. It may feel like there's no way this thing can live. There's no way God can turn my life around in the situation. Yes, he can. And that's what happens when a church and your snowflake joins my snowflake. Come on. I'm not just fighting this by myself, but we're all in a very, very good place. We got a big old mountain, a big old peak up in heaven called Free Chapel. And we're saying, Lord, pour it out on us. until the river of deliverance and healing flows through our homes, through our cities, through our nation, and to our world. I need somebody to give him a praise. I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. I got to finish it. In Psalms 147 in verse 15, listen to this. This is amazing. He sends his commandment to the earth. And here's what it's like. It's like it's running very swiftly. His word, there'll come a moment when he sends, he changes the season and he gives snow, the next verse says, like wool, and he scatters frost like ashes. And he cast out his hail like morsels. And then he asked a powerful question. And the only question is, it's coming. The flow's coming. Because the next verse says he melts the ice. He sends his word and he causes the wind to blow and the waters to flow. It's coming. Now go back to the last question. But the only question is, who can stand before his cold? Who can stand in the cold? Who won't give up in the cold? Who won't quit in the winter? Who won't quit when you don't see nothing, you don't feel nothing? He said, I promise you the rain is coming. I promise you I'm going to melt the snow peak and the snowflakes that you sent up and they've connected and turned into a glacier. I'm going to melt it in my season, in my time. The only question is, who will stand the cold? Who will keep sending it up when nothing's happening? I don't know about you, but I feel real happy in my soul because I'm going to stand the cold. It may get cold, but the atmosphere for prayer is in cold times. If you want snowflakes, you need some cold. So that's the time to really pray, when it's tough and hard, not when you're seeing miracles everywhere, not when the river's flowing, but when you don't see anything, you keep on praising. That's when you really get into praise. That's when you really start, I know it was the blood, hallelujah. You're sending it up. So I was going through some of my notes this week, Bill, if you'd come to the piano. And about 20 years ago, I was asked to preach at the Brownsville Revival every Friday night for about a year, and I did it. And it was amazing. But I came in on the end of the revival, like the last 2 years. The revival, many of you may have never heard of the Brownsville Revival, but it was a revival that broke out in Pensacola, Florida. Listen to this. And it went 7 years. And it had 3 million people. This was before, you know, internet live stuff, all that. All they had was VCRs and stuff like that. But it went 7 years, and they had 7 million people physically go through the revival, and over 3 million saved. And even toward the end, when I was preaching on a Friday night, I'd fill in for the evangelist. And the place would be packed. It's very much a church like this size, about the same size. But Pastor Kilpatrick, I asked him one time, and I found this in some of my notes. I could not believe it. It was so detailed. But I said, how did the revival start? And this is how he said the revival started. He said, the church that I went to pastor, the Brownsville Assembly of God, is a part of the Assemblies of God. He said, It was in division. I don't know any other way to say it. And he said they were having church fights and church divisions and criticizing, attacking one another. And he said it was terrible. And he said I prayed and it didn't get any better. And he said it just went on. We just kind of bumped along and people fussing and fighting with one another. And he said, I felt impressed of the Lord to do something. He said, I had all this in my notes. He said, I felt like I was supposed to do cancel Sunday night service and do a 1 hour Sunday night prayer meeting. And he said, I put flags out in the sanctuary on Sunday night in different sections of the church. And those flags would represent prayer place. You go there to pray for this. Like one would say healing and one would say Israel. And one would say finances, and one would say family, and one would say, you know, direction or the will of God. And so the people, and he said this, he said the first night that he had a prayer meeting, he had three show up. himself, his wife, and three people. Y'all do a little bit better than that. I'll tell you that. But three people. Think about it, just three snowflakes. And they would walk around. And he said, we just kept doing it. And he said, a few more trickled in. He said, after about 6 months, we had several hundred people that were regularly praying. And he said, we just, for 1 hour, people would go from one prayer station to another, to another, to another. And we prayed for one solid year. And he said, and nothing happened. Nothing. And he said, he got so discouraged that this is how the revival started, that he was so discouraged. And if you know Brother Kilpatrick, and I do, I was with him every Friday night for about a year, so I know him very well. He's a godly man, but he's a little bit almost like an old prophet or something. He's a little bit moody, and you can't really read him. You never know what you're gonna get. But a great man, I mean, an awesome man of God, and he was in one of those moods where he called up a guy named Steve Hill, who was a full-time evangelist. And he said, I'm so discouraged, because people like that, they have highs and they have lows. And he said, I'm so discouraged. I can't even study this weekend. I don't even want to preach. Steve, will you just come in and fill in Sunday morning? Maybe we can get through the weekend. And he called a guy named Steve Hill, and Steve Hill came with a sermon and just preached. At the end, nothing really happened during it. He said, I didn't even remember what he preached on. But he said, I'm going to pray before, and he called people down. He said, I'm going to pray before we're dismissed, and I'm just going to stand over here and lay my hands on some people. And he prayed this powerful prayer, and that was it. And then the evangelist stepped down, and Kilpatrick said, because I was the pastor, I knew I had to walk down there too. Really didn't want to. And he said, he stepped down the steps, and he said, when I got to the bottom floor, he said, I stepped off the last step, and he said, it was like I stepped into a river, and I could feel it coming up to my ankles. And he said, it scared me, and I looked down, and then he said, I cried out these words, my Lord and my God. And he said, when he said that, the glory of the Lord came. And he said, I felt my knees buckle. And he hit the ground on his face. And that was the start. The people, it came like a river, just like Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, knees, you know, remember the Ezekiel 47, the knees, it started ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then waters to swim in. The Holy Spirit began to take over that church. 7 million people were touched. Many, many, many filled with the Holy Ghost, but 3 million born again. All because, think about this, you never know when you're sending up your last snowflake before avalanche. Somebody shout, avalanche! Wouldn't you like to proclaim that over your family and over everything you've been fasting and over our church, over America, over the world? My God, we need an avalanche. And you never know. One more prayer, one more hallelujah, one more I just believe, Lord, for my child in Jesus' name. And one snowflake. And it all comes crashing down. That river is in this church. Say amen, somebody.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin. And thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.